Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for joining us. Amen. We are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in to participate, to be a part of this Bible study. Amen. The call number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you called in, you can be a part of this discussion. It's almost like a round table. We're sitting at a table, and we are feeding off the word of God. Amen. And we pray that once you leave this table this evening, that you are filled with the word. Amen. That's all it's about. It's not about us. It's about him. So we give God all the glory. This evening, we are, as we move forward, as I mentioned last month, we're going to be going into topics just talking about prayer and praying for the youth, of today. And that's what we're going to be doing as we kind of venture off with our subject. My topic is God Answers Prayers. And on that note, if you have any teens, any youth that you would like to pray for, mother, woman, who is a woman of God, anointed and devoted to the word of God, she's on the line and she's ready. And we're going to submit any names in publicly or even privately. We are going to submit names, and she's going to take it up to the Lord in prayer. Are there any names that you would like to add before she begins?
My God, thank you.
The mics are open.
Amen. Good evening, Pastor. Sister Tanya from Detroit. And I'd like to add my grandchildren, Trinessa and Gabriella, Amari, Mackenzie, and Joseph to the list, and then just all of the youth of the world to be prayed for this evening. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Good evening. And I'd like to add to that prayer list my nephew Marquise, my niece Corinne, and their cousins, all their cousins, and all the youth, like the mother said, all the youth, you know, that's in my family and across the board in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The mics are open. Are there any more? I'd like to add, you know, my grandkids, Langston, Lincoln, and Lauren, as well as Rhea, Kayla,
Cameron,
and Justin. I'd like to add them on, not only just them, but all nieces, nephews, and we're not even going to stop there. For all those that we come in contact with on a daily basis who are struggling with trials that we know nothing about, struggling with peer pressure that we know nothing about, struggling with trying to academically perform in school that we know nothing about, struggling at home, struggling at home with difficulty, with trials at home that we know nothing about, struggling with just having food to eat, not having enough to eat, going to school starving, that we know nothing about, struggling because they are seeing others prospering and they feel they may not be prospering.
Right.
Those that we know nothing about, not only in my city, my state, but across the country, across the states, in the schools, all over. So I would like to add those to the list. Any more? Are there any more? Any more that would like to add?
Yes, I'd just like to add one more to that list. And that's my little spiritual girl, Hope. Praying for Hope this evening.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Good evening. Good evening, thank you, God. I realize I'm here to pray for our teens, troubled teens, that children's nieces, nephews, cousins, children all over the world.
Yeah.
And as I look at the Word of God, and I look at the teenagers, as I look at all the things that they're doing in media and Facebook, you name it, and it looks bleak. When you think about all the things that we hear and we see, but then when you go to the Word of God, there is a Word that gives us hope. And for those children, those that are struggling and those that know nothing, that don't have food on the table, trouble in their home, trouble in their schools, trouble wherever they go, as I begin to pray and I look at God and it touches my heart. But
yes.
The Word of God coming from 1 John says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him.
That's
oh, gracious Father, I come tonight seeking Your grace and Your mercy on behalf of our King, on behalf of children all over. I come, God, first looking at the troubled children as I looked at the Word of God. You said You would turn a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. We're praying this evening for those troubled teens, God, that don't have no sense of right and wrong, and it seems like they're just going their own way, doing their own thing, God, drinking, drugs, pornography, gay lifestyle, and taking lives of one another, black-on-black crimes, even in our teens, God. We find that we're dealing with troubled children. And God, as I look to the Word of God, God, there is hope. There's hope, God, that seems it looks like a hopeless situation. Well, I ask this evening, God, that You would turn around those children. God, we pray those of us that are parents, that have children, that seems out of control, toting guns, killing, breaking in homes and cars and taking lives. God, I'm praying tonight that You would turn that heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Give them back, God, that compassion, that love. But God, it has to come from the home. These are children that are coming from troubled homes that never knew what it was like to have love. They come from broken homes and single parents, and they come from the attitude of no attitude at all, God. And praying, God, that You would touch them, turn them around, God, and put them on straight street, God. Turn them back to You, their parents, God. They don't have time. They're so busy sometimes trying to make a dollar that they don't have time to have quality time with the children, to sit at the table, the dinner table, and pray and talk, God. And so we're praying, God. They're talking about they took the prayer out of school, but there's no prayer in the homes, God. There's no love in the homes, no caring.
Lord.
As the pastor said, God, there's many, many times they come home to no food on the table. And sometimes they have to go out and get it on their own. So sometimes they have to go and steal and do all the things, sell drugs and things. And some of the cases is because there's nobody at home providing for them, because the parents sometimes are strung out. And no father in the home, God. There's no leadership, no one guiding and leading them in the mighty name of Jesus. And as I go to the Word of God and I look in Luke 1 and 37, there's nothing impossible with our God. You can turn around that on the corner selling drugs. You can turn around that child, God, that's raping and killing and stealing. You can turn it around, God. And we're asking tonight for those troubled teens that they're bullying in the schools. They're carrying knives and they're carrying guns. And our girls don't have no pride about how they look and how they dress, because there's no one there guiding and leading them. Those of us, God, bring us to. It does take a village to raise a child, God. Let us be more. kids is all right, so I'm not bothered. God, we got to get back to the Word of God and get on our knees and praying and seeking God on behalf of our children. And we can change those street corners. We can change the drug houses. We can change those things that are if we come back. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, and humble themselves, God, we're praying tonight, God, that you would turn around our troubled children. Those by their, it's like they're opening, they're bigging more and more prisons to put our children in. But if we go back to God, go back to prayer, go back to seeking your face and asking you, God, to lead and guide us in the name of children. And God, we pray for nieces and nephews and grandchildren. God, we plead the blood of Jesus over our children. When they leave our homes and they go to school and wherever they may go, God, there's nowhere they can go that you're not there. So God, we ask that you be with them when they leave our homes and walk out the door and go into the schoolhouse. God, to go there with it. Guide the teachers, God. God, do whatever needs to be done to protect our children. And God, we're praying for those troubled ones to come back and for those children who are struggling, that don't know nothing about, just have no food on the table. Mm. God, we know you to be a provider. If it's nothing for the neighbor or a grandmother or someone, there should not be. There's too much in the United States that our children should be hungry. There should be an after-school program where the children, there's nobody at home, our children can eat after school. There should be something that we can do. And we can all do something that starts with prayer.
Yeah.
Open up doors. Open up homes. Open up. Go back to God. Being about our Father's business. This is my child. I see this child, and I'm going to provide. I'm going to make a way, and I'm going to do all I can. So, Heavenly Father, you said in Matthew 7:7, all we have to do, God, and that's all I do. I'm coming asking you, God, for all these situations that have been brought to you tonight, God. You hear, and you answer according to your will and your way. And we just say, God, we know your grace to be sufficient. So, God, no matter our hearts, every name that was called, every child, every niece, every youth in our neighbors and all over the world, God, be with our children, God.
Yes, Lord.
And God, don't let us worry. Let us trust in you. And all our ways we acknowledge you. You direct our path. Show us where to go, how to go, and what to do in our neighborhoods when there's children in our neighborhood. Pray for our children in our neighborhood. Pray when we're in our cars. Let us just not walk right in our car and go, there go another one. Plead the blood of Jesus. Whether he's selling drugs or whatever he look like, I plead the blood of Jesus over that child, over that young lady that might be selling her body. Maybe that's all she got. That's all she knows. I plead the blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.
So God, tonight, we plead in the blood of Jesus for our children. What the enemy means for me, God is going to turn it around. That's what we're saying tonight. We're saying God is going to turn it around. If we continue to pray without ceasing, the word says it does. His word does not come back void. Our prayers will be answered. If we continue to pray, get all, anoint your children. Anoint your household. Anoint your children, everything around you. So that, plead the blood of Jesus. Don't let your children, nieces and nephews, when you encounter them, lay your hands on them. They don't have to know what you're doing.
That's right.
I plead the Jesus over my niece, over my nephew, over this one, over that, over their homes. In the name of Jesus. God, we pray that you come back into the homes. Because of those homes, they got alcohol, drugs, all kinds of things going on. The children are seeing any and everything. Strong conviction over that mother, over that father, that they will change on their wicked ways. In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
So God, we come tonight with hope because we
yes.
realize our hope lies in you. As
yes.
I believe my prayers will close. That God, that we will do better. We will pray more and do whatever
yes.
our hands lead us to do concerning a child, that no child would go hungry. We pray into the feed a child. And God, whatever we have to do so that our children won't be hungry. And God, for that
yes.
child, there's a child somewhere is ready to give up, commit suicide because of maybe bullying in the school, maybe the lifestyle in the home. And he feels like there's nothing to do, no place else to go, so I'm going to give up. And
my
we have children at a young age committing suicide. God, we curse that at the root of the seed. We pray,
yeah.
God,
yeah.
that we would see it. God, that you would open our eyes to anything concerning children that we could put our hands to, that we could help, that we could give a word, that we could do something that this
yes.
child won't go hungry, a child won't commit suicide because it seems like nobody cares. If we just give them a smile, a hug, a love or something,
yes.
maybe that child haven't had a hug all week, and then he come
yes.
into your hand, you put your arms around. I know we got to be careful how we hug, but the Holy Spirit let us know when, how, and what to do in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, thank
Jesus.
You for allowing me to pray this prayer. We're going to see
thank
a change
God.
Come because we're going to continue
yes.
to pray without ceasing. We're going to continue
yes.
trusting you, and we're going to continue to thank you, and we continue
trusting.
To say, Lord, have thy own way, Lord. And
yes,
thank
Lord.
You, God, for using us. Thank you, God, for allowing me to pray this prayer. I pray that every name was called. God knows the name. He knows the hair on their head. He knew before they were full. So if you call that child's name, God knows about it. And he hears.
Yes.
And he's going to answer according to his will and his way. And you know what, God, right now, we're going to say thank you. Every name that was called, if you call the name, say,
yes.
thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. You're going to watch
you.
Over my niece, my nephew, my grandchildren, my children.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, God. You know their name. And so we
yes,
say, hallelujah, thank you. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in my sight, my strength. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Lord.
Thank you.
And all things give faith. I have to leave because I have to go to another line. Another engagement I got to go to. But thank you for having
yes.
me. It's an honor and a
thank
privilege
so
to come here.
Woman. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. Most of you don't know this is what she does on a regular basis. Like your job, this is her job.
Yeah.
This is her job. So we thank her for coming on. We are humbled and privileged that she would take the time to do this once a month. So we do thank you again, Mother Womack. God bless you.
God
bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. As we move on, as we move forward, we do thank Mother Womack for those prayers that was named out publicly and privately. Our topic this evening is God answers prayers. God answers prayers. And there are three things that I would like to bring out is observing the heart and not the mouth. Number two, anxiety and vexation. And number three, a servant's prayer. A servant's prayer. We are going into talk about a woman, and her name is Hannah. It's in 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 20. 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 20. A woman who is in the Bible and who is extremely noted. Extremely noted. And the Bible in here, it says, from the NIV, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. And she turned to him and said, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And as we go into this, as we look into this, devotion of the heart. God looks at our heart and not our words. Now, some of you probably will look at me and say, well, God does hear our words. Sometimes we can pray, but God is looking at not what we're saying, but he's looking at where it's coming from. And it's coming from our heart. It's coming from our heart. Now, we go into this. The theme of this whole topic is Hannah, she's desperate and longing for a child. And here we today or tonight, we're going to reflect on prayers, the prayers that Hannah is committing with confidence of God to provide what is best for us. Through Hannah's prayers, we're going to look at what is best for us. Now, as we go into this, before we get into this, I would like to really highlight a few things. Eli, who was at the temple, he was considered the high priest during this time. Eli was the high priest. And when it said that he was sitting at the doorstep of the house or doorpost of the house, he is the high priest. Now, what's happening is, during this time, he's watching her, and she's praying, but she's not saying anything. He's just looking at her lips. And he's saying to himself that she has been drinking or she was drunk. So if we look at it, it says, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting at his chair by the doorpost of the house. And in his deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. She was crying and weeping bitterly. Now one would think that Eli would see the weeping of this woman. But all he saw was her mouth moving and no words coming out, and he was just thinking that she was praying, but she was bitterly drunk. And she made a vow. Now, what is a vow? A vow is a promise. She made a promise saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Here it identifies what her longing was. Her longing was a son, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now, I'd like to bring your attention to Elkanah, who was the husband and the father of Samuel. Hannah, this was the time that polygamy was practiced, and there were two wives. Now, the one wife was Penina, and the other was Hannah. Penina had numerous children. Hannah did not have any children at all. And what happens is she's praying for a son. She's praying for a child. And if you go through more reading, she was vexed. She was vexed because she did not have a child. She was going through misery. She was just deeply saddened because she did not have a child. And in the study, it goes on that what happened was she was always looked upon by the other wife of, what's wrong with you that you can't have a child? What's wrong with you that you can't have? And so the difference is, Elkanah, he realized what she was going through because she didn't have a child. He realized that his other wife was how he was responding to her because she didn't have a child. And in actuality, he favored her more. He favored her more at this time.
Favored who?
He favored Hannah. He favored Hannah. Even though that his other wife had all of these children and Hannah had none, she was favored. And as we go on and look, she was not only favored by her husband, but she was also favored by the Lord. So, and when it goes on, and I'm trying to break this down as easy as I can, as best as I can, And she goes on and she's praying to the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And that's why I'm saying that God looks at our heart. When we are praying, God is looking for devotion from the heart. Let me say that again. When we are praying, God is looking for devotion from the heart. He's looking at our heart. Many times that we hear people talking, and I always call them pretty words and painted pictures. People can talk, and it sounds extremely good, but their heart is not right. And that's one place that God looks at to determine if you're sincere about what you're saying. God looks at our heart. And here's a time where Hannah was blessed, or she was favored, because God saw her heart. Eli had blessed her, even though he thought she was drunk. He felt that she was drunk. He felt that she was there, and she was praying, but she was not sincere about what she was praying. So when we look at the first part, and we look at it, it's Hannah. The focus is on the sacrifice that she made. Hannah presented herself at the shrine to pray. She came to the shrine to pray, and she is deeply depressed, and she's crying bitterly, and she prays for a son. Eli, who is the high priest, He's sitting on a doorstep, and he's almost like a consultant to her. He's almost like a consultant, and he can see Hannah as she is praying. Now, in 111, it says here, and she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look at your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget about your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for the day, all the days of my life, and no razor shall ever be used on his head." That was the vow, that she not only wanted a son, but she would never, ever shave his head. Before I move on, are there any comments? Okay, as we move on. In the ancient Israel, callous was a reproach for women in Hannah's case of infertility. Hannah approaches God, whom she believes can restore her fertility. And in prayer, Hannah vows that if God will give her a son, then she will give a child back to Yahweh as long as the Nazarite. The Nazarites avoided strong drink, and they did not cut their hair as a sign that they were separated and belonged to God. And that was the whole purpose of saying she will never cut his hair. And many of the Nazarites' vow was for a short period of time, but Hannah promised. During that time, that the vow was for a short period of time, but Hannah promised that her son will be dedicated to the Lord for his whole life. Dedicated for his whole life, not for a short period of time. And that was what was the difference between their vow of a short period of time and Hannah's vow of never, ever to shave his head. And God gave favor to her son. And you know what happened with Samuel. So God answers prayers. Hannah conceives, and later on, and she bears a son whose name is Samuel. And you know the story, which continues with the rest of the chapter. Hannah takes her son, after he is weaned, to the shrine of Shiloh and leaves him there in Eli's care to serve the Lord as she has promised. She made a vow to give him back to the Lord. Can you imagine having a child, and then you take your child and you leave him at the shrine? You leave him at the temple. Leave him and saying, you know what, take my child, because I promised if you gave me a child, I would give him back. And she gave Samuel back to the Lord. Any comments? As she kept praying with her mouth, Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips weren't moving. Okay, and although she was not drunk, she was longing for a child. So she came to her defense and said, you know what, I'm not drinking. I have not been drinking. I have not been drinking. I'm just praying because of the anxiety that I'm going through by not having a child. And again, one of the parts of the pieces was she was bitter and she was and anguish was because she was constantly being taunted by not having a child. Any comments? Giving your child back to the Lord. Now here, I'm going to put a little twist on this, in saying that when we pray, we give it totally to the Lord. That when our prayers, when we're praying, first of all, there's devotion from the heart, that we are sincere about what we're praying about, and it's coming from the heart. And when we do that, when we make a vow, that we stick to the vow. It's like asking God to do something supernatural, and God does it. God brings us out of whatever we're going through. And we know that it was only God that could have done that. Only God that could have done that. And then we choose to forget about what God has done. We forget about our promise. Our vow becomes short term. Not long term, but short term. And God wants us in a place where that if we are committed to the Lord, it's long term. It's not part time. It's not when we feel like it. But we're committed for a lifetime. And God wants the devotion of our heart. He wants us that when we are having any type of anxiety, or as Hannah was going, there was vexation, we're vexed by some things or troubles that's constantly coming against us, God wants us to turn it over to Him. To turn whatever we're going through over to Him and leave it there. Not pray and ask God to help us out of whatever the situation we're going through, but pray and leave it there. Leave it with God. And trust that God is going to handle it. He's going to handle that situation at His own time. We might look at it as being a long time, but in God's eyes, it's a short one. I know you've heard that saying, He's an on-time God. That came from somewhere. That means that when God, what God was doing in our life, we didn't expect it at that time, but it was the right time. We wanted it right at that particular time. But God had His own timing. He had His own timing. And see, the things that we look at that we think that can never happen, that's when God shows up. When we least expect it to happen. When we're not in a mindset of knowing, okay, I know God's going to handle it. I know God's going to handle it. And then all of a sudden we begin to start to lose hope and believing that God has forgot about our prayer. And I'm here to tell you that God has His own timing for working things out. God has His own timing for working things out. God is always working on our behalf. God has promised to answer our prayers. Just as He answered Hannah's prayers. Hannah was crying bitterly. She was pouring out her heart. Because she didn't have a child, couldn't have a child. And God saw her despair, and he chose to answer her prayer. In fact, if we read in the Word, he answered it right away. Because she went home, and when she went home, she was able to have a child. She conceived. But what she had to do was she had to go the extra mile. She had to go to the shrine and pour out her heart. And I almost believe in my mind that she did not even know that Eli was there. But she thought, she felt she was there praying alone. No one around. So she could just bitterly weep and pour out her heart. And the whole time, Eli was observing. Now let me take it on the other side. We weeping out to the Lord for whatever we're going through, and God is observing everything. He's observing everything, and he's looking at your devotion of your heart, the sincerity of your heart, not your mouth moving, but the sincerity of your heart. Sometimes we don't even need a lot of words to say. It's what comes out of the heart. In 1 John, it says, the world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Doing the will of God, making a sacrifice for the Lord, turning your whole life over to the Lord. And when we do that, when we, I call it sell out, and clean up those issues by repentance, repenting on a regular basis, asking God to forgive us for the things that we don't even know about. Now, I truly believe that God begins to start to work within us. I believe Hannah had emptied everything that she was going through out, whatever anger that she had because of her being taunted, whatever she was going through, the bitterness that she was having, the vexation she was having, when she poured out her heart by weeping that whole time, I believe that she cleansed her whole self out by praying. She was able to rid by asking God to come. And when God came, I believe she was empty. Any comments? Any comments?
Well, can you hear me?
You're kind of low. Is that Pastor Robinson?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Praise the Lord. Always good to hear your voice.
Amen. Amen. Wow. The message tonight. I'm sorry. I tuned in a little late. I thought I was going to be gone, but I didn't. I made it back. Anyway, I wanted to just comment on Hannah, and not really on Hannah, but on us. And I wanted to say that I remember back in the days of our forefathers and our foremothers that when a child was born, and, you know, some people see this on cartoons or on TV, and they think it's funny or they think it's just something they do. But when a child was born, as soon as that child was born, especially if they were born at home, well, at that point they were born at home by midwives, they were given back to the Lord. They were prayed for, and they were handed back over. Their lives were handed back over to God, by particularly the father of that child,
mm-hmm.
given back to the Lord. And
mm-hmm.
where I'm going with is that if we could just turn back, hallelujah, the hands of time and
amen.
Back to giving our children at birth back to the Lord. You know, we get so happy and so caught up and so full of joy when a child is born that we just forget. I believe, and it's become a ritual, forgetting ritual, to just not remember to give our children back to what. Because listen, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded that when a child is born, it is a good and perfect gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
As I was saying, we get so caught up in joy, we shouldn't be caught up in joy. We should be caught up in tears and sorrow, knowing that child is going to have to endure things that it had to go through in life. And I understand that we're talking about Hannah. And Hannah not being able to give a kebab foul, but I'm talking about the fact that she made God a promise.
Yes.
That if he gave her, as you already indicated, if he give her a child, she would give it back to the Lord all
mm-hmm.
the days of its life. Now, we make a lot of promises to God. We make a lot of deals with God. We say, God, if you
yes.
do this, I'll do that. If you
That's
do
right.
this, I'll do another. But
mm-hmm.
this prayer that Hannah prayed, and I preached that subject, and I talked about the heart of a mother, a mother's love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, as I said, just go back, even our grandchildren, if the parents these days, even if we would just hold them in our hands, and just say, Lord, this is your child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving them back to you all the
mm-hmm.
days of their life. And we got to fulfill the process by, as Hannah did, by training and teaching and bringing that child up in the way that it should go. As
yes.
But I was just wanting to butt in and say, you know, we need to go back to that. We need to get back
yeah.
to that. We need to get
mm-hmm.
back to giving our children back over to the Lord. Don't wait
mm-hmm.
till they're 15 or 16 or reach the puberty or whatever and start praying for them. A child
mm-hmm.
will be prayed for first and handed back over to God. Now I'm old school, so you know, some people might not agree with that, but that's just the way. You know, I was a child who was born, I was delivered by a midwife. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what took place at the time, but I know that my granny then believed in that. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say that we need to go back to doing
what
the
tradition. You know, and I agree with you. I agree with you on that part, you know, and when you was talking about that, I thought about when I was coming up. And in terms of going back, when I was coming up, I had to go to church. I believe that
yeah.
was another way of giving back to the Lord, was making sure that your child was in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
By going, being there on a regular basis and hearing the word, I believe that the word is like a seed, and it becomes planted in the spirit, and eventually it grows. And when the child is out there and becomes confused or goes through challenges that because it has been poured in them, that they know the direction that they're supposed to go. They know what's right and they know what's wrong. But it requires
right.
them, you know, and to me, I look at giving back to the Lord is making sure that child is in service, in Bible study, in Sunday school.
Okay.
when you were saying that, that's the first thing I thought about, giving back to the Lord. How often do we have our kids in church like we used to? Now, if the kids don't want to go, guess what? They don't go.
We don't. And we don't
really give them up.
I mean, you know,
giving them even the household. I was you know, being kind of liberal there, but even the household, yes.
Yeah.
We don't go, and that's where everything began, is by being under the divine word of God,
yeah,
and allowing those words to penetrate our ear gate. And I believe that that's what builds us up spiritually. You put a child in church, listen, I believe that's the turnaround right there. So as you were saying, that's what I was thinking about. That's the first thing I was thinking about, was giving back to the Lord, making sure that child is in church, in service. And we've gotten away from it.
Yeah,
we've gotten
we have gotten to the point, and we have allowed society to dictate the raising of our children, and we have gotten to the point to where people nowadays let the children run the household,
mm-hmm,
instead of, you know, the mother or the father. The children run the household. They say, "Mama, I don't want to do that." Well, guess what? They don't have to do it.
This year.
You know, and it's just not, you know, a teenager tell mom, "I don't want to take out the trash. I don't want to clean up my room." Guess what? Mama pities him or dad pities him, and they don't have to do it. Well, we need to get back. I mean, to that strong raising. I'm not talking about beating your child with a broom or nothing like that, but I'm just saying, you know, just train our children. Look, when I was little, very little, we would stay under our mother. We stayed in church with them. We watched them cook. We watched them clean. We watched them wash clothes. We watched everything they did, and we participated. And in our participation, when we got older, we knew how to do it. You know? I mean, maybe we took a 8-course meal, but you could do it good enough the way you won't be hungry. Just saying, or you can clean up your room, or clean up your house, or wash the dishes, or cut wood, or take out the trash. You know, the things that I don't know. Maybe I'm going somewhere else, but I'm just talking about the raising of a child. We have gotten away from raising our children and teaching them how to be grown, how to be raised, or how they should raise their children. It's just, I don't know.
That's so true.
I'm glad you got on that subject, and when I read it on my message, I said, man, I need to get in on that, because, you know, I'm really strong on raising our children right, you know, raising them right.
Amen, amen, amen. And I think that's what's needed is basically making sure that the kids know that we're telling them, you know, what's right, that we're sharing with them what's right, and how do we share it with what's right and what's the truth? And that's the word of God. What does God say? Amen, amen. Pastor Robinson, we're so glad to hear your voice. We're so glad. Always a blessing. Always a blessing. We're going to close at this time. I'm sorry. Say that again.
No, I was just saying, I apologize that it's been a while since I've been on, but I'm kind of getting back into doing what I was doing slowly but surely. And, you know, and I've just been missing out. But it's good to be here.
Well, we're waiting to hear you back on the line. You know, when you want to, when you're about ready to come on and take a spot, we'll be waiting for you.
Okay, I'll do that.
And you know that everybody's listening. They know your voice when you come on. they know your voice when you come on. We thank God for that. We're going to close at this time. We do thank you for joining us, and we invite you back next week. We are in next Tuesday. We are in Atlanta, Georgia, and so we do invite you back next week. We thank you for tuning in. We pray that you were spared as we shared this word tonight. We thank Mother Womack for coming on and praying for the youth and you being a part of this time together. Okay, we thank you for the unity and the spirit. We remember, we love you, but God loves you most. God bless you.
Face the dawn.